is Northfield Outdoors, brought to you by Professional Pride Realty. From hunting to hiking, camping to cooking, mushroom hunting to motorcycling, and so much more, your hosts, Dave Vesladol and Andy Beham, will enlighten, entertain, and inform you with a lively mix of guests and discussion on all things outdoors. And now your hosts, Dave and Andy.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Northfield Outdoors on KYMN 95.1 The One and 1080 AM. Northfield Outdoors is proud to be sponsored by Professional Pride Realty. I'm Dave Vesladol, and today Andy Beham is on secret mission. He is out there finding us our next wonderful guest out there. So I'm winging it alone, but that won't be hard because I've got a great guest today. We're going to talk ducks, duck hunting, Ducks Unlimited, and we're going to be talking with Scott Markunis, who's the president of the local Ducks Unlimited chapter. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
Hey, Scott, let's go ahead and get started. Maybe there's some people out there that aren't aware of what Ducks Unlimited is. What is the organization? And just a little bit about the history of it.
Well, it was started in 1937 during the Dust Bowl, when the populations of ducks were decreasing so bad, a group of men got together and started Ducks Unlimited to try to maintain habitat to reestablish ducks. It's cut off nationwide, and actually it's international. It's in Canada, United States, Mexico, and there is a form of it in Australia also. It's to maintain the wetlands and habitats for migratory waterfowl, which obviously helps other animals also.
Do you think without Ducks Unlimited we would have the duck population that we've got now?
Boy, I'd sure have to think not, because it certainly has changed from when I was a kid to what it is now. It's a lot higher than it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Just a matter of reestablishing wetlands and these shallow lakes that we tend to have that are all taken over by, you know, rough fish and, excuse me, taken over by rough fish and, you know, algae and just growing over, and they become, you know, just dead, and you lose the, invertebrates and the freshwater shrimp and stuff that ducks thrive on.
You know, I was reading a little bit, about the history of Ducks Unlimited and some of the stuff they did in Canada. I didn't realize in the early days when they first started, they were very active in crow hunting. I didn't realize crows were so destructive to nesting ducks and stuff.
I actually didn't know that myself. I grew up as a kid in northern Minnesota. I know we used to have rice paddies and stuff up there, and they would actually give us free shells and shotguns and go in and shoot the blackbirds and the crows because they were so destructive. So maybe that's part to do with the habitat and the young the ducks for their food supply.
So, Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself. How you're a local person right now, but weren't always from the Northfield area, were you?
No, I'm from northern Minnesota. I graduated from Aurora Hoyt Lakes, joined the Navy for 5 years, and when I got out of the Navy, moved to Ramsey where my brother was living, and ended up meeting my wife at a bar. That's a totally different story. And she was from Lakeville, Northfield area. We ended up moving down here, building a house. I've been down here about, I guess, 23, 24 years now. Don't have the exact date, but...
Okay. And your business, is it?
I own Apex Electrical Contracting here in town, like full-service electrical contractor.
We got to give that a little plug.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But how did you get involved in Ducks Unlimited, and specifically here in Chapter Northfield?
Well, it's kind of weird because I moved down here from Lakeville. I'd been living in Lakeville for 3-4 years before I came down to Northfield. And everybody I knew lived in Lakeville, so I really didn't wander too far into town, to be totally honest with you. I live north of town in the country. Everyone was in Lakeville. Well, I started getting these postcards in the mail asking hunters to show up at the ballroom for a meeting. It was the Legion at the time, Legion Ballroom.
Was this to actually form the
club? To form a chapter.
Okay, so there wasn't a chapter actually.
Well, there is a Northfield DU chapter run by Wynn Mitchell, Pete Bulligan. They do a golf tournament every year.
Oh, okay.
So we're actually a separate entity. We're known as the Cannon Flyways. We're here locally too.
Oh, okay.
But we took a different name because we run a dinner banquet and they run a golf tournament every year.
Okay.
Excuse me. So anyway, we kept getting these placards, so we said, come down to the ballroom at such and such a day, such and such a time. I think about a dozen, 15 of us showed up for like 2-3 different nights to see if we wanted to establish a new chapter, along with the regional director at the time, which was Mr. Thorpe. finally, he just said, okay, it's up to you guys. I think you got a good group of guys that can start. Do you want to do it? And I think Scott should be the chapter president the first time he goes. And I look around the room because I was a JC before that.
Everybody took a step backwards. Yeah. There, Scott's still standing.
I go, I'll do it if you guys do it, but otherwise I'm not. And everybody raised their hands, and the rest is history. Been doing it for 14 years now.
It hasn't been that long.
And I got to meet all kinds of people, some of my best friends now that I never would have known if it wasn't for Ducks Unlimited, and going to those chance meetings at the beginning.
How big a group is this right now?
I mean, well, I think when we started, we had 10 to 12.
Okay.
I'd say we're probably still in that same area, but half of them have probably turned over. Some have moved. Some have retired. You know, and you always lose a few here and there. We are starting to get in some newer people the last couple of years, which to me makes it a lot more exciting because, you know, you always have the same ideas. It's nice having other people with different outlooks to be around.
Well, let's take a step back again, and let's talk a little bit about Ducks Unlimited from a state view, Minnesota view. If I'm a non-hunter, why do I care if Ducks Unlimited even exists? I mean, do they do anything for me other than hoping to have some ducks to shoot?
Well, the biggest thing they do is wetland conservation, and it's all throughout North America. It's not just locally here in Minnesota. Okay. There are projects in Minnesota. They tend to be a little further west where the potholes where the potholes are, because it's obviously very populated in this area. It's hard to establish a good duck base in this type of area. But they reestablish wetlands, they fix shallow lakes, they work hand-in-hand with the DNR, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Ducks Unlimited does have on full-time biologists, so they work with the state to do studies, and then they raise the money along with grants and matching funds. So a lot of it comes from the banquets. Now, establish these wetlands, yes, a lot of it's being established for duck breeding, but that leads to our wetlands for, you know, for flooding. Because that's the biggest thing. We've lost a lot of our wetlands. You know, it rains, it all heads to the river, and suddenly we have flooding that we never used to have. And over the years, about 90% of the wetlands have been turned in the prairie pothole region of the United States.
Oh, my God, that's a huge percentage.
That goes all the way from Canada to North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa, and it is the number one most in-trouble flyway in all of North America out of the 25.
And I would suspect if anyone likes the idea of having clean water.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, restoring some of the wetlands. That's what filters it out.
Absolutely.
Filtering system and stuff. And I would assume a lot of other wildlife really benefits besides ducks.
It would contribute from, obviously, animals, deer with water and cover, a place to live, you know, with the long grass, the prairie grass. You keep the rough fish out, which helps our... You know, obviously everybody wants to hunt a walleye, not a carp, fishing for walleyes.
But, I mean, even a person who just likes to birdwatch.
Oh, absolutely.
Having places to go on that. How's the relationship between Ducks Unlimited and the state and federal government?
Yeah, honestly, they work hand in hand, because I don't think any project nowadays would really happen without the other, because the state obviously is always looking for matching funds or somebody, you know, they want to do a project. I've had a project done on my house from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Kind of took a long time because they have to save all the money and save all the funds through the budgetary process, where they can go to an outside group like Ducks Unlimited and they'll match funds along with the state. So obviously they can do a lot bigger projects. And they have the biologists right on staff from DU. And they work hand in hand. They've been doing it for so long. Every time I go to the state convention up in... Well, it changes from year to year. St. Cloud, Wilmer, there's a bunch of DNR officers that are there every year because they help with all the, you know, the different projects that go on throughout the year.
And people should be concerned not just about the U.S. land. Ducks Unlimited is concerned about Canada and Mexico also, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I don't remember the exact number, but almost all ducks, you know, the population is born up in Saskatchewan. That's, I believe it's around 90% of all the ducks.
Okay, so that's the big...
That's the breeding ground.
That's the breeding ground.
Correct.
So even if we only concentrated on the U.S. and forgot about Canada, that would be a big mistake.
Right. Obviously, they need to be reared and raised somewhere to have a healthy flock, because they only fly through the United States on their migratory rights. Yes, some stay here year-round, but not not the numbers. Obviously, the migration goes from Mexico to Canada.
And what about back to the local chapter here? What are some of the things you guys do locally that I know it's important to raise money to get to the federal level or, and stuff, but locally, what do you guys?
Well, we run a banquet every year. We work. It's in March now. We just moved it again. I had the wrong dates because we've moved it a couple times over the years due to different changes.
By the way, I love that banquet. I went to it this last year, and there's nothing like the first gun being given away, and you get to win that.
I wish it's my turn next.
No. I'm going to go back to that.
But we've had youth days. We've had wood duck houses. We've actually done that before at DocMo. Clancy was nice enough to borrow us the back room. We let it open to kids just to build the duck houses to take home to hopefully put in the backyard. You know, we have handouts from the DNR about ducks and their, you know, how to identify them. We've done a lot of things, even with Pheasants Forever, to go to County Fun Shoot up in Rosemont at the U of M grounds. We definitely encourage kids to come to our banquet every year so we can teach them about duck hunting and maintaining the habitat. Our chapter has raised, I actually had it looked up last night from my regional director, in 14 years we have raised $165,000 that we have sent in. Profit, and that's not counting some individual donors. I think we have five life sponsors in our chapter.
And that money then goes towards mainly habitat?
Well, to be honest, it goes to DU National down in Tennessee. They obviously distribute the funds. I mean, some could end up in Canada, some could end in Mexico, some end in Minnesota. I don't have that local control.
Sure.
But we're hoping for the ducks to be bred
so I think
to come through.
If I'm understanding what you're saying, it's important that some of that money ends up in Canada because that's the breeding spot.
Correct.
And if you don't have the habitat up there, we got a problem here.
And I've actually been to one of the places up there, Westbourne by Portage la Prairie in Canada. And it's pretty amazing. In fact, they had some flooding, though, a few years ago that wiped out some of the dike walls. And they just refixed those, I think, within the last 5 years. Just huge, and I have never seen. I go to North Dakota, South Dakota, and I've never seen numbers like what you see up there in Manitoba.
Okay, you know I go out to Montana every year to take a duck hunting trip. I'm lucky enough; my son lives in Western Montana.
Yes, I am available.
And we go. I head out there, and we go up onto the Flathead Indian Reservation up by the Mission Mountains, and it is amazing. One, there seems to be kind of a lack of duck hunters in that area. Everybody's big game hunters and stuff. But the variety of ducks that come through on that flyway is a lot of fun once they start migrating down. I mean, you're always going to get all the widgeons and the mallards kind of in there. But once the migration start, it's really fun just to see that type of
Redheads and the cans
you don't
normally see down. Well, you see them here, but they're usually through pretty quick.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and take a short break, Scott. We're going to go ahead and listen to our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Professional Pride Realty is a proud sponsor of Northfield Outdoors on 95 The One. Let the staff and realtors at Professional Pride help you make coming indoors from the outdoors a welcoming experience in the home that's right for you. The realtors at Professional Pride are local and know the Northfield market. Whether it's buying your first home, upgrading from your current home, or purchasing your own slice of the outdoors, let Professional Pride help you every step of the way. To learn more, check them out on Facebook or at ProfessionalPrideRealty.com. Keep enjoying the outdoors and let Professional Pride worry about your indoors.
Welcome back. We're talking with Scott Narkunis. He's the president of the local Ducks Unlimited chapter, the Cannon Valley.
Cannon Flyways.
The Cannon Flyway. I want to make sure of that. For some reason, I thought you guys were one and the same. I didn't realize we had two chapters.
Yep, there's a Northfield and a Cannon Flyways.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, you guys aren't competing against each other. It's more working
together. Fact, we usually are at each other's events. I go to the golf tournament, although I couldn't make it this last year because I was out of town. They come to our dinner event. So, no, we're not stepping on toes. Different times of the year, too. So,
what about other organizations like Pheasant Forever? Do you guys work much with them?
I personally, on a local level, our chapter has, but we were invited from a local Pheasants Forever. They did a family fun show, the U of M grounds in Rosemont. So for years, we'd go up there and we would just set up stuff to teach kids. We'd put them in lay down blinds and show them what it's like jumping out of a lay down blind. Okay. Officially, I can't answer that question, whether on a state level they work together. I would imagine their paths have to cross with some of the migrant, some of the, you know, the work they do on the wetlands and the prairie grasses.
Let's talk a little bit. You alluded to this a little bit earlier that you do some things with the youth. I've always felt that that's going to be a problem for most hunting organizations, is that we've seen the average age of the hunter seems to be getting older and older, but it appears that your organization is actively trying to get youth involved and interested in duck hunting.
Well, I believe we try. I know my chapter tries. I know I've taken my daughter out to duck hunting. Todd Sleeth here from town just took a group of youth out to North Dakota for the Youth Day this last weekend. I actually have a lucky enough to have a wetland in my backyard, and a couple friends of mine brought their kids down to teach them duck hunting in my backyard, because it's low competition. It's not like you're on a public lake and you have to worry about, you know, offending the guy in a blind next to you, or, you know, there being some kind of an incident. So it's a good spot for kids to learn. I have my friend's son, who is now, I believe, 24. I remember when he could only sit in the duck blind with a BB gun, so he would learn. Then he moved up to a 22, and
sure,
I think it was a 410, then a 20-gauge. So, yeah, I mean, I think bringing the youth in, without a doubt, nobody contributes more to conservation than hunters through the fees they pay for their duck stamps and their license fees.
You know, that's – I think – I'm glad you said that, Scott, because I always think about – sometimes I sure would like to see the hook and gun group be able to work better with some of the environmental groups. Some of the environmental groups, I don't think they really understand how much money, time, and effort organizations like Ducks Unlimited, Pheasant Forever, the National Turkey Federation, what they actually do for this country. It may look a lot different without them. I guess kind of speak to that a little bit about how hunters are conservationists, environmentalists.
Well, I think most people are, because, well, they're conscious of, they remember, you remember the years when there's bad hunting and there's no birds and there's no deer, whatever kind of hunting you're doing, you know, and then, well, look what happened with Mille Lacs and stuff, you know, it's like, you know when it goes bad, so you hope that the money that you're putting in for these tabs and the extra things are going to actually bring populations back to make it enjoyable for sports fishing. Because, for one, it's a major tourist thing in Minnesota, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
Money raising for the state altogether.
Another good point. I mean, there's dollars involved here.
Right. I do also want to say, when I did bring up the other groups, but the Cannon Sportsmen's here in town have been great to us, too.
Okay.
We go to their wild game feed they do every year, and they help us out at our banquet, borrow us, you know, their tumblers, whatever it takes. But I just wanted to make sure I brought them up, too.
Okay. You're listening to Northfield Outdoors on KYMN 95.1, the 1 and 1080 AM. And we're talking with Scott Arkunas. He's the president of the local chapter, the Ducks Unlimited, the Cannon Flyway group. Scott, talk a little bit more about the efforts to try and bring in people to get more involved into Ducks Unlimited, and why you've accomplished a lot, but why don't you just stop?
Well, you know? I just think, I've always been doing volunteering stuff from the time I got out of the Navy. I was in the JCs.
Sure.
In fact, I used to know a lot of people in this town because I was a JC up in Lakeville, and we'd help each other out at events. And obviously when I moved down here and I joined DU, like I said, some of them are my best friends nowadays, and we go hunting every year. I go to North Dakota on a hunting trip with guys that I met because of DU. I'm going to a wedding next month for a young fella who just joined our chapter last year and became fast and good friends, and going to his wedding here. Well, actually, it's this month, the end of this month, down in Mankato, St. Peter. So I think it's good just for in Eastern Illinois, so he was looking for a group of people to meet up with too. So I think it's all reciprocal. I think things can just get stale and stagnant if it's the same people. I think it's good to bring in young blood. And I also think it's good to rotate positions. Like, I'm the president right now. I'm actually done after this year. I'm supposed to be done, you know, have elections.
So it's one 14-year period?
Yeah. Well, no, I haven't been it the whole time.
Oh.
I've been president two different times, each one for 2 years.
Okay.
So,
you've always been, to me, the face of the local group.
Well, maybe just because I'm loud.
there you go. Okay, now I'm going to put you on the spot. Local predictions for this year's duck hunting. Let's start locally here. How do you think it will be?
Well, obviously it's all weather dependent. All the crops are still up also. I did go on to the DU's Ducks Unlimited's website and was reading some of the migration reports coming up in Canada. They haven't even come up with really numbers yet because everything's still so spread out. Nothing's massing up. I would assume, you know, we're about to go into a cold spell, or a colder spell coming up. I imagine shortly you'll start hearing the real numbers. They're saying it should be about what last year was. I do know North Dakota is very dry right now. I was out there 3 weeks ago, and it's dry, and that's what I'm hearing from the Saskatchewan and Manitoba reports, that it's dry, and they're on the bigger lakes right now. So maybe more bigger water this year, or if you're lucky enough to find a small pothole somewhere. But a lot of it's just weather-dependent, you know. Last year I was up in North Dakota hunting, and it went from 0 to 20 below, and in about 4 days, everything was froze over, and the ducks were gone.
You know, last year when I went out, I'll be honest with you, I was hunting locally around here until the migration really got going. It was mainly wood ducks I was seeing. I wasn't seeing a lot of mallards, a lot of teal. Teals, and maybe it's just me, but teal seemed to be down over the last few years. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I don't know the numbers, but I guess, you know, when I'm going, we're usually going out in the fields for mallards is usually what we're doing. So the teals usually aren't there. They're already they're the first ones that go buzzing on through. They don't hang around too long.
I know the youth hunt is a popular thing, but if you don't have any kids at home anymore, I've heard people complain that having the youth hunt will start to send the ducks south, will start to spook them a little bit, especially the teal. Is that just a person isn't seeing them?
Yeah, I think it would be more of that because I don't see how that could happen because the youth day in Minnesota was last weekend.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the ducks are hardly here right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, you have some locals. Maybe you scare the local ones out of the pond. You kick them a ways. But you got to understand, if the youth day is going on north of us and everything, you should be kicking them to us too. So, I mean.
Do you think I know our migration level for everything I've – our migration here that we have, what's it called, the Mississippi flyway?
Prairie pothole region.
Prairie pothole region seems to be down. It's part of that having to do with habitat and maybe not the cleanest water. You know, it seems like our lakes get kind of green. There isn't the food to keep them here to go through.
Well, I think it's a little of all that.
Okay.
Like I said, the Prairie pothole region is the number one endangered flyway out of the 25 in North America. But 90% of the ducks in North America fly through the prairie pothole region.
Yeah.
The problem that you have is, like you said, around Minneapolis, St. Paul, the urban area, I mean, the ducks don't want to fly through here. They want to stay further west where it's quiet and the crops and the potholes. Hence the reasons why DU is trying to reestablish a lot of these shallow lakes for stopping grounds and the migration paths for ducks. Because I think it's actually getting better, but from what it was, I'm going to say 20 years ago, I think it was a lot further west. So I think it's coming back.
Okay.
You're never going to get it to probably where it was around here just because of urban sprawl.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you on that one. It just seems like there's more people. Right in this local area, it seems like I have fewer spots to go duck hunting and kind of people get on top of each other a little bit
other
more.
Than the Canadian geese that are always going to be on the golf course and on the river.
Now, that is kind of a success story because I remember as a kid it was a big deal to even see a Canadian goose. Now they're like flying goats around here.
Yep, I remember it too. And I lived in northern Minnesota and it was like, I think you could see eagles more than you could see a Canadian goose back in the day.
your opinion on how the Minnesota DNR is handling the duck season. Are we starting at the right time? Should we be starting early? Should we be starting later? Does it run? Any concerns there?
Well, I think you're always going to find people not happy with the DNR unless their freezer is full or they do really well hunting. They did move, you know, I think people used to say the season should be a little bit earlier, but about, what was it, 5-6 years ago, so maybe 7 years, I've lost track, they actually did move it a week up, forward, which I think people like that a lot better.
Yeah, I get a little more teal hunting anyway.
You know, and they've gotten away from the, oh, we're not going to start it till noon, and you can only hunt till 3, and then you can only, you know, stand on one foot on this day and that day.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of those have gotten, and it's become more of a standardized, which I think is just
it seems like
easier, simpler.
It seems like they've gotten a little bit more in sync with the rest of the country.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I hated that noon start. I just...
And it was weird because I believe the federal government always recommend one thing, but obviously the state decides, and it always seemed to be a little contrary. And it was just... But I think it's a lot better.
Do you think the loss of all the CRP land in this state has also contributed to maybe not holding as many ducks?
Well, definitely the CRP. I know that's one of the biggest things is the local grants and the legacy fund that Minnesota has adopted 6 years ago or whatever it was. But one of the other big funding agents for conservation land and wetland is through the Farm Bill.
Yeah.
So definitely, I mean, I go out to North Dakota deer hunt, and the numbers are way down because of the CRP, because there is as much CRP as there was 10 years ago even.
Yeah, I think I read, that Minnesota in the last 10 years have dropped almost 900,000 acres of CRP.
No, I probably wouldn't doubt it.
That's a big drop.
It's a lot of land.
Yeah, and that affects a lot more than ducks, you know, pheasants and all wildlife.
Absolutely, cover.
And stuff like that. Is there some big changes or... Looking to the future, what is Ducks Unlimited really trying to do? Are they trying to stay this course just to keep what they're doing, or is there some big projects?
Well, there's always big projects going on. They just finished one in July, Eagle Lake in McLeod County, where they drain it.
Oh, yeah.
Put in the I can't remember the term they use. To keep the rough fish from coming in, they put in the trap diverter where they keep the white fish out, reestablish it. The vegetation.
And why is that? I understand from a fishing standpoint, you keep rough fish out, but that's also important for ducks.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, is it? And what's the reason for that? Is it just a food source?
The food source is the water just goes stagnant and putrid, you know, from the fish that are in it, and it's so shallow that you don't have the vegetation and the microbes and all that, because that's what the, you know, ducks feed on are the freshwater shrimp and the vegetation. Well, if you don't have that in there, you know, it's just a nasty, smelly, dirty.
So you're not going to get them not only to breed, but you're not going to get it to hold them when they're migrating through.
Yeah, or local birds. Yeah. You know, look at all these the cranes we have nowadays. I mean, 10 years ago we didn't even have cranes. Yeah. They're everywhere now.
Yeah, it's amazing. This year, I don't know how many different pairs of big sandhill cranes I saw in this area.
Absolutely.
And you just didn't see that.
Yeah, I have three swans living in my backyard for the last 2 weeks on a wetland too, and
that's another big deal.
I also know the wetland is beyond my house, and I haven't personally done anything to it. There are farmers around it, and they've been very good, and they keep the CRP there. In fact, one of them's planted prairie grass around it. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife has actually come out and done a couple things over the years, and I actually think it's cleaner now than it was when I moved in 20 years ago. It held a lot of ducks, don't get me wrong, but it was just kind of nasty, silty. You know, it seems like it's more established now, solid bottom, you know, not just that muck.
And what's your guys' opinion about having these the spring goose hunts? Now, I had the chance to go on a spring goose hunt in South Dakota, and that was a lot of fun to do that. So I've had people say, well, why are you hunting those in the springtime when they're migrating back north and they haven't bred yet? And I've tried to explain to them that they're so overpopulated.
Right. I mean, I personally have never done a spring hunt. I don't really have a lot of, I guess, opinion one way or another, but there's no shortage of snow geese. And I mean, you go to North Dakota and all them, you know, they complain because they'll come in and eat the whole alfalfa field in the matter of a week or a few days, depending on the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands that land.
Yeah, I've actually heard that in the breeding area, they're so overpopulated that they've actually just destroying some of the breeding grounds and stuff. Sure.
So I think it's just a way of controlling. I mean, they know how many are harvested every fall.
Sure.
So while we're not harvesting enough of them in the fall, it isn't just a question of, okay, you can shoot X amount more because maybe just don't have the hunters out there doing it. So I guess it's a way to get them on the way up and get them on the way down just to help control the numbers.
Okay. You touched on your spring banquet, so let's talk a little bit more about that. Do you have to be a member of Ducks Unlimited to come to that?
Absolutely not. Okay. Public is welcome and encouraged.
And the purpose of that banquet is mainly what? To raise money?
Mainly just to raise, yes, it's considered a fundraiser, to obviously have fun and raise funds that evening. We have raffles, prizes, we have a sit-down meal. You were there.
Yeah.
Games, auction, live auction. Yep. You and Andy did the auctioneering
for us. Which, by the way, we had a lot of fun.
And we're going to ask you back. I just haven't had a chance to get around to it.
It was a ball.
But that's how we've picked up members. That's how people become aware. We do have a lot of good sponsors here in town, businesses that have been good to us over the year that donate, not necessarily cash. Some have done cash. Some will donate items. It's very well received, in my opinion, but we could always have more. We usually have anywhere from 130 to 150 attend. I like to get it higher, but...
Well, I thought it was well attended last year. So you don't have to necessarily be a duck hunter to attend this.
No, actually, I would say 90% of the people in DU, the DU says, are duck hunters, but not all. And in fact, I would say on our committee of 12 people, give or take a couple there, a third of them aren't duck hunters, probably don't even own a gun, probably never even been out duck hunting. Okay. But... the friendship and camaraderie and wetlands and fresh water and all that type of stuff. I mean, it's definitely for a good cause. And Ducks Unlimited spends 83% of the money raised goes directly to conservation. I know there's charities always have, they only give out 10% of what they actually are asking for.
That's an important number.
But 83% goes directly to habitat conservation. The rest is, overhead salaries. There are some salaried people who work for DU, regional directors, sure, the biologists,
but even if you aren't a duck hunter, but you're concerned about habitat, that's a big thing for Ducks Unlimited that they're working on is habitat.
Absolutely.
And I think again, everybody likes clean water and stuff.
Gets kids away from the video games too and into the outdoors. So that's another end you got to think of.
Yeah. Do you talking about that? What if there's someone out there listening? They're not a duck hunter, but their son or daughter's talked about, I'd sure like to get involved in that. Do you have any kind of mentoring program or do anything like that?
Well, I wouldn't say there's like a set up program. We have had people call and ask.
Oh, you have?
Okay. When we would go to them families, my son, daughter would really like to come out and see or try shooting a gun one time. We're not taking them right out to the duck blind, but we take them in the backyard, set up some targets and let them have a chance. So if they want to just get hold of us, we can make it work.
Okay. Any last thoughts about how you want to get across about how people can get involved with you? Who do they contact? How do they contact you?
Well, one thing I would say is go to ducks.org, DUCKS.org. That is the national website of Ducks Unlimited. There is so much information. You could literally look for hours. And then you can go my state and you can click on Minnesota. It'll tell you all the different events. It'll tell you what you're doing in Minnesota. It'll tell you the migration stories. It'll tell you how to set up your decoys, tricks for your dog, how to help train your dogs. It's invaluable, some of the information, if you're looking for that.
I always get a kick out of when we start talking about decoy setup. Whenever I go out hunting with my son, he can be kind of a pain because if there's one decoy just like an inch out of in the not proper spot, that he's out there rearranging it in. It's funny with duck hunters. Everybody is an expert on their own decoy setup.
Well, and you always wonder why they flare too and didn't land. Like, did I shut the mojo off too early? Did I should I kept it running? Is there two of them? Maybe there shouldn't be.
I explained to my son, if he'd do it the way I would explain, explained it to do it to him. That
they don't make duck locators like they do in bolts for fish.
No, they don't. Well, you've been listening to Northfield Outdoors on KYMN 95.1, The One, and 1080 AM. Of course, we've been talking with Scott Markunis. He's the president of the local Cannon Flyway chapter of the Ducks Unlimited. And we've had a great time talking to you. But before you we have Terry Knight, who has just come into the studio. And, Scott, I usually always test Andy on a little trivia. And being Andy's out on secret assignment out here, we're gonna test Terry here on these.
Yeah, okay.
Better her than me.
Oh, you've got this. I know nothing.
No, this is gonna be an easy one. This is on ducks only.
Oh, man, that'll narrow it down.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna have you look at it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Have the answers there too?
Yes. So.
What, didn't you know the answers?
Well, yes, actually, I do.
Oh, okay.
He can see the answer.
Yeah, to write them down.
Now, you know what a wood duck is, don't you?
Yes, they're very pretty.
Oh, yes, they look lovely mounted.
All right, whatever.
You know, they eat a varied diet in the fall and the winter, but they're especially fond of eating what? What is their favorite food in the fall?
Don't say wood.
As a gardener should know this.
Vegetables. I don't know.
No. What is in great abundance of this year?
Acorns.
Absolutely. And of the acorns, is it from the red oak or the white oak that they prefer?
I'm going to say white oak.
Well, you're wrong. It's the red oak because...
I had a 50-50 shot.
Believe it or not, they're just a little bit smaller. So that's why they like them.
Okay, fine.
They're fine.
I'm trying to emulate Andy.
Well, you did good. Right? So... Do you know what year they eliminated the use of lead shot that you couldn't use that for waterfowl hunting?
I'm going to say 1958.
Scott, I'm going to throw
I'm going to say sometime in the 70s. I couldn't tell you the year.
1991.
Oh, my gosh.
I actually remembered that because at first I thought, oh, I'm not going to get another duck. And then I realized I never realized how bad lead was.
Yeah.
I was doing it before.
And as you probably know, wood ducks are a cavity nesting duck. In other words, they nest in a tree.
Yes.
What other common duck that you'll see around here is also a cavity nesting duck?
When it goes quack.
Winner.
This is just like talking with Andy. Scott, you want to take a shot at that?
Am I right? It's correct.
No. It's the bufflehead.
It goes quack, doesn't it?
Well, that's more. They have
a shrill.
Yeah, it's not really a quack.
Fine. Okay.
Okay, how about one more?
All right.
You know that the smallest dabbling duck in North America is the green-winged teal. I'm sure you were aware of that.
Sure.
But what other small duck is what's the second smallest duck behind the green-winged teal?
The blue-winged teal.
Well, actually, right, you're pretty darn close.
Oh!
Actually, the bufflehead is actually a little bit bigger than the blue-winged teal. It kind of falls in between there. But I would have gone with the blue-winged teal also. Or cinnamon teal. Either one of those.
Okay. So. I like cinnamon on cereal. But okay.
Well, that's today's trivia there, folks, on that. Hey, thanks, Terry. You've been a sport.
Oh, sure.
Thanks, Terry.
And, of course, we want to close with reminding people that alternating with us on Saturdays is On Tap with Corey and Ira. And Northfield Outdoors show will be archived on kymnradio.net and found under Northfield Outdoors. I've got to say thank you to Hayes. He's always doing a great job in updating our Facebook page out there. And also a big special thanks to our sponsor, Professional Pride Realty, for sponsoring Northfield Outdoors. So again, Scott, thanks a lot for coming in,
today.
And good luck out there in the duck blind. And hopefully it won't be a...
Bluebird Day.
I've had good hunts on Bluebird Days.
Yeah, nor I hate Bluebird Days. I give you the bad weather. But thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
So again, everyone, get out there and enjoy the great outdoors.
This has been Northfield Outdoors with Dave Vesladol and Andy Behem, brought to you by Professional Pride Realty. Join Dave and Andy every other Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on 95 The One or streaming at kymnradio.net.